Sugar.
Broadcasting live from the KSHP studios in the heart of Las Vegas, Nevada.
It's time to get on the right side of sports betting. It's time for the Odds Couple.
Happy Monday. Welcome to the Odds Couple. This show is about sports betting. My name is Scott Pritchard. I'm a professional sports bettor handicapper, joined as always by Brett Grant. How are you?
Doing well, Scott. Welcome to another week of fun, huh?
Did you have a good weekend?
I did. I got sunburn on Saturday, and I reinforced it on Sunday with more sunburn.
I like
it. So I had quite the weekend.
What, you, on the golf course or
well,
what?
Well, Saturday I went to the state high school baseball championships. And sat in the stands for about 6 hours, and then on the golf course on Sunday.
Well, let's get started with what say you, NBA playoffs, Eastern Conference, Western Conference Finals in full swing, namely Game 1 of the NBA Western Conference Finals took place yesterday with the San Antonio Spurs taking on the Memphis Grizzlies. The Spurs were a 4.5-point favorite. They won and covered easily, up 28 points in the fourth quarter before eventually winning by 22 points, 105-83. Now, the Western Conference Final, I would like to say, based on the fact that Greg Popovich and Tim Duncan, since 1997-1998, they have together won four NBA titles. But I think the fact that the Spurs have been in the Western Conference Finals 8 of the past 15 years, that we should rename the Western Conference Finals the Greg Popovich Invitational. What say you?
That's a good point. He's been there quite a bit. And they look very good in Game 1. And when you have that kind of experience, it's hard not to. I mean, you get used to it. I know people like to see the same, don't like necessarily to see the same teams over and over again, but when you're that good and you're that dominant that you're there every other year, it's kind of like that run with in college football with Alabama in the national title game every year, or and you had a stretch where Tom Izzo and Michigan State was in the Final Four every year. You got to applaud those guys for getting basically the same group of guys to come back and buy in year after year, and especially in the NBA when you're dealing with big money guys and lots of ego and lots of other things that are going along as opposed to a college student. You're dealing with a lot bigger fish when it comes to the NBA. You got to give Popovich tons of credit. I mean, there's only been a few other guys from Red Auerbach or Pat Riley and Phil Jackson that have been able to do that. He doesn't have quite the same number of championships, but he's represented the city of San Antonio very, very well.
We don't want to overreact. It's just basically one game, a potential seven-game series between the top two teams now in the Western Conference. But how good is this Spurs team knowing that their main man, Tim Duncan, only had 6 points, but yet they still win by 22?
No, that's a good point. And you look at, the balance of scoring that they provide. They have so many different ways that they can score and that they're not a team that's reliant on just one guy. If Tony Parker doesn't have a good day, doesn't mean they're not going to win either. If Ginobili doesn't score or if Leonard doesn't score, they have so many people that contribute on that team, and that is a credit to their scouting department, to their coaching staff, to the players being unselfish, that they know, even if I'm the eighth or ninth guy, I'm still going to have an opportunity to help this team win, as opposed to other teams when those guys know they have no shot of contributing. Look at Memphis. They play their starters more than anybody does. If you're the 11th guy on the Memphis team, I don't think anybody knows who that person is.
Right.
But in San Antonio, that guy's getting considerable minutes, right?
No doubt about it. They have such a great proven bench. Lends itself to continuity and consistency. You're listening to The Odds Couple on KSHP AM 1400 Radio. We're live and worldwide, simulcast on Vegas Video Network. The studio line is open. You want to talk sports betting, whether it's baseball, basketball, even some hockey. That's one of the many reasons why we have Brett here. He is a hockey guru. The studio line is 702-221-7283. That's 221-7283. Live chat up and running on Vegas Video Network. My name is Scott Pritchard. I'm a professional sports bettor handicapper featured all over my own site, PritchardsPicks.com. Check out the site. One of the gentlemen I feature is Dink, featured in the movie Lay the Favorite, starring Bruce Willis as Dink. Some of the information is free. Some of the information you have to pay for. I'm also featured on VegasInsider.com, sports betting site. Same thing there. We have about 1 million views per day. Tim Donaghy, former NBA official, he reached out to me a few weeks ago. I'm one of the premier handicappers on his site. That's called refpicks.com. Let's keep talking basketball. Western Conference Finals, or as I like to refer to as the Greg Popovich Invitational, the Spurs have been in the finals Western Conference 8 times in the past 15 years. Yesterday, that line opened 4.5, bet down to 4. Late money came in on the Spurs, 4.5. It was never in doubt. They led by 17 points at the end of the first quarter. And again, we've said many times that Pop knows best. I am a bit biased. My money is on the Spurs. I've been singing a song about the Spurs the entire season. The fact that I have them to win the Western Conference at plus 250, plus 220, looking good, feeling good at this point. But again, don't want to get too happy too soon simply because it's one game. And the Spurs, they know this better than anyone. Last year, Brett, they won their first 10 games in the playoffs. They went 4-0, 4-0, 2-0 against the Thunder. And then the next thing you know, they lost 4 straight games to Oklahoma City. So Tony Parker yesterday during the postgame conference said, listen, this one game is meaningless. We were up 2-0 last year in the finals, Western Conference, and lost 4 straight to the Thunder. So they are not happy. They continue to be hungry and focused.
Well, that's a good point. And I think the biggest part of that is they remember last year. It's still a fresh wound of what they did last year where they were up 2-0, lost 4 straight, and knew they probably had the best team last year as well and didn't get it done. So there's extra fire in the bellies of those Spurs players that were part of this team. We even had a Tracy McGrady sighting on the court yesterday, didn't we? Had 13 guys. They all played. Patty Mills on the floor. I think it's valuable that you get all those guys, at least at a time, into a game and see what they might be able to do, because you never know, an injury could happen or something to where you might need somebody like McGrady or Patty Mills or something like that down the stretch. But more than anything, I think it's a great point by Parker. When you have the big three like they had, Leonard was, what, a rookie last year. So now that was his first taste of the postseason. So now you got to think that he's going to grow from that experience as well. I think it's a huge advantage for them to have that kind of, you know, in the back of their minds going, we were here last year and didn't get it done. So that extra fire is very important.
Yeah, you mentioned Tracy McGrady. There was a Tracy McGrady sighting during the game yesterday. Interesting, because I really don't think he's going to get hardly any minutes in this matchup. I think they brought him in once they cut and waived and let go Steven Jackson. They picked up Tracy McGrady, who was doing really well in China. Mm-hmm. But it had to do more with, I think, based on what my sources in San Antonio have told me, for the matchup, potential matchup with the Oklahoma City Thunder on the wing. But now the fact that they're playing the Memphis Grizzlies, not so much of a factor. Leonard, the man, I believe he had 18 points yesterday. Tony Parker played well. Green. What I love about Green and Leonard is not only are they threats offensively, but they have been assigned to the top two scorers more times than not on the offensive side of the ball for the opposition.
No, I think it's good. I don't expect him to play a lot either in that regard. But I think it's important early in a series when you're able to have a big lead that those guys, if you ever do need, it's not just him. Patty Mills isn't going to play either. There's some guys that typically aren't going to get off the bench in a tight game. But when you have a blowout and you can get Gary Neal lots of minutes and Corey Joseph lots of minutes and not have to play Ginobili lots of minutes, or even though Duncan only had 6 points, he only played 27 minutes last night, that's beneficial if the series goes 6-7 games, because those guys are going to be fresh and you didn't have to use them in game one. It's a huge factor, I think. Let me ask you this. Watching what happened yesterday, as you go into game two, which ironically is tomorrow, but we won't have game one of the Eastern Conference until Wednesday.
Right.
Nice scheduling. There's no game today because apparently LeBron's getting his nails done. What's your factor with regards to the zigzag theory for tomorrow and just where the number is today and what you expect, what you saw out of Memphis yesterday, and a horrible day for Zach Randolph? Got to assume he's going to play better in game two, and the zigzag theory.
Well, he can't play any worse. I mean, Zach Randolph, true, the main man, he had 2 more points than you did yesterday. So, I mean, I look at this and I think, well, the point spread for tomorrow's game, the Spurs are favored by 5 at home against the Memphis Grizzlies. Now, the zigzag theory, we've talked about that before. The zag now would be to get on Memphis plus the points. There are a couple of places that have, Scott Whitney was mentioning to me before we went on the air, a couple of places that have 5.5 on this game. The money has come in on the Spurs. The zag theory, Zigzag says, to get on Memphis plus the points, knowing that they were, are a professional basketball team. They were embarrassed. They will make some adjustments. The Spurs, I mean, the line, for all intent and purpose, at this late date, you're talking about one NBA game every 2 days. The line is sharp. I mean, right. The Spurs favored by 4.5. That's about the right number. And they just went on to win by 22 after being up by 28 points in the second quarter. But as I said going into the series, again, I can still be objective, even though my money is on the Spurs at plus 250, plus 220 to win the West. The thing I look at here, and the difference to me going into the series, was the fact that the Spurs bench considerably better than Memphis. The coach, I have the best coach on the planet. Pop knows best. You tie in those two key factors with three-point shooting. Memphis, as good as they are, they're a half-court team. They simply do not score enough points. They will force you to play their style, their tempo, by slowing it down, half-court set, let's play in mud. But the fact is, they don't score. And the Spurs did a great job defensively, packing it in the paint defensively, forcing right. them to beat you from the outside.
Well, in the game yesterday, I mean, this, you know, you look at San Antonio from the three-point line yesterday, 14 out of 29, which that's not normal for anybody to be able to shoot close to 50% from three-point range. So you got to expect that number to come down a little bit. You remember in Game 1 and Game 2, it was Popovich who was saying, boy, I sure hope Steph Curry's not this hot tomorrow. And then it was, oh, I sure hope Klay Thompson's not this hot in Game 3, and maybe we'll get lucky. And neither one of them will be hot coming through. I think that's the way Lionel Hollins feels when you got Bonner and Leonard making 8 three-pointers yesterday on just 11 attempts. And you're going, how are you going to stop that? I mean, when two guys are 8 for 11 from three-point range, you just kind of tip your cap to them and say, nice job, guys, because it's not going to happen again.
Yes and no. I mean, the Spurs were a very good three-point shooting team, but if you watch the game, they were wide open.
Yeah,
and it was because of the kick, the drive and kick mentality of Ginobili and Parker. So, I mean, unlike Curry and Thompson in the last series where they were on fire, they were hitting tough shots. But let us not forget that Pop knows best. They made great adjustments, the Spurs, because after 44 points by Curry in Game 1, he averaged 18 the rest of the way. And after Klay Thompson lit him up for 29 points in one half, he didn't do squat the right. rest of the series. So you live by the outside shot, you die by it. But this Spurs team, they are a machine. They rely on a system, ball movement, again, drive and kick. And as Manu Ginobili said after the game, he said, listen, this team, based on the three-point accuracy, it's predicated on always driving to the lane and kicking it out. So there's a big difference between, 14 out of 27. I mean, they were 13 of 24 before going 1 for 5 right. or 1 for 4 late. So the idea is they are a very good three-point shooting team. Unlike the Grizzlies, they're strictly Randolph Gasol inside.
Yeah, although the Grizzlies only took 12 attempts yesterday. They had a nice day from Pondexter shooting the three. They made, I think, 5 out of 12, and he was 5 for 7 or 9, I think it was, for him. But they were just coming from behind the whole way. So the key is, I guess, going into Game 2 is what can Lionel Hollins do to make sure that Randolph doesn't repeat what he did in Game 1, and then where are the adjustments defensively to take away the things that San Antonio likes to do?
Well, good luck, first of all. The big concern from what I saw and what Lionel Hollins actually said after the game was they're so hyper and so good defensively, but they overreacted to the penetration by Manu and by Tony Parker to the point where they would leave Bonner or Leonard or Green wide open from the three-point line. He did not want them to help or overhelp, so they overcompensated. But again, pick your poison, man. I mean, these Spurs are healthy. That's the first time all year that this team has been healthy. So I think the fact that they're deeper, they shoot the ball better, and they have a considerably better coach. Again, don't want to overreact based on one game, but man, they looked good yesterday.
They did, but then now you look at the factor that people will go out and bet what they last saw, and what they saw yesterday was complete domination. Now, does that mean that the public is going to go and hammer San Antonio in Game 2? And then we're going to see some significant line movement out of this, or what do you expect?
Well, that's a great, great observation, because the line opened 4.5. It's already been bet up to 5. There's a touch of 5.5. But the odds makers, I mean, they're aware of the zigzag theory. The Memphis Grizzlies are a good basketball team, and they're a very good road team. So, again, points mean more than opinions. I mean, I don't have an opinion on this specific game. I'm just thinking, hey, I've got the Spurs five and a half points. The best of it, just want them to win the series. And, I mean, I might take a look at the total. I mean, yesterday it went over, and the Spurs, actually the Grizzlies for the year, 48 of their 50 regular season games, two games they didn't have a total posted, but 48 of their 80 games went under 48-32, 67% dead under team. But in the postseason, the past two rounds now for the Grizzlies, it's gone over. So there's, you have to know when to get on, when to get off. It's all based on, predicated on timing, because the odds makers and the sports books will overlay, underlay, overcompensate, and that's where if you are selective by picking your spots or spotting your picks, you can take advantage of that. Now, the Grizzlies, 10-0 in their last 10 games ATS against the spread. The Warriors, 11-0 ATS against the spread. The Spurs broke that streak, and the Spurs broke the Grizzlies' streak. This Memphis team is a very good team, but again, I don't think it's a favorable matchup. You ask about how does Zach Randolph get back on track. The key is, I mean, again, 2 points. In his last game, I was telling Mark earlier here at the studio, 28 points, 14 rebounds for Zach Randolph. He is a man amongst boys, but again, he didn't score as... He only scored 2 points, and it was like 9 minutes to go in the game.
Right. He was 0-7, I think, before that. And the other factor was they really didn't get to the free throw line as much as they do at times. They were there 20 times. But, again, when you're falling behind that big early and you're fighting that, you're not doing what you normally do. You're forcing jump shots. You're taking three-point shots. You're not running your normal offense because you know you're so far behind, so you tend to rush a little bit. Now, I would think if the game got off to a more favorable pace for the Grizzlies and the game was closer early, and let's say it's between a 2- and a 7-point game going into halftime as opposed to a 17-to-20-point, 14-point lead at halftime, it's a big difference for them. Well, they could play. They could slow the game down and play the way they want to play.
It couldn't have went any better for San Antonio because they came out like a house on fire. They were up, I believe, 31-14. Up 17 points in the first quarter. And to echo your sentiment, the Grizzlies, are not a come-from-behind team. They force you to chase them, so they were in the unenviable position of trying to overcome a double-digit deficit on the road against a very good team. So it's going to be interesting. Game two is Tuesday, and then nothing. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Come back on Saturday for game three, which actually favors San Antonio.
Are they walking from San Antonio to Memphis?
I wonder.
Come on.
But I look at it, and I always think objectively. It's like, okay, well, it's crazy. It's idiotic, the scheduling. But never mind that. What does it mean from a handicapping standpoint when you bet sports? And if you look at these two teams, the fact is game two is on Tuesday. So the Spurs, they've been accused of being old. I've never said that. They're proven. But they can throw everything, including the kitchen sink, and play extended minutes for Parker, Ginobili, and Duncan, knowing that they're going to have Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and part of Saturday off. Once we get to Saturday for game three, it's every other day.
Right. Well, I think with the schedule is we joke about it, but they'll play game one of the Eastern Conference Finals on Wednesday, and then they'll play game two on Friday, and game three will be on Sunday. So they're getting their break early before the series starts, where these guys are playing two games. Then they're getting their break in the middle of the series. And why they're not playing game one today, they want to play a game on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, make sure there's a game each and every day during the weekend. And it is Memorial Day weekend, and you'll have a game on Monday, right? Memorial Day will have a game. And that's the other thing. They wanted to guarantee there was no sweep before Memorial Day happened. That's why, right?
That's one of the reasons. Yeah. You're listening to The Odds Couple on KSHP AM 1400 Radio, Sin City, Las Vegas, live and worldwide on Vegas Video Network, live chat up and running. Keep those live chat questions coming. The studio line is open at 702-221-7283. Scott Pritchard, professional sports bettor handicapper, alongside Brett Grant, the GM here at KSHP. We're talking sports. We're talking sports betting. We talked about the series going in. First of all, I thought and I mentioned this on the air last week, I really felt the Grizzlies were getting way too much respect because the Spurs were just a small favorite, $1.10, $1.15 favorite to win the series, and yet all the money, it's amazing to me. I was talking to Anthony Padilla yesterday, and I said, I was talking to Dink yesterday morning, and it's like every single sucker, and by sucker I mean like the media, everything that I read on the internet and everything that I saw from former players, broadcasters, experts, they all loved the Memphis Grizzlies to win this series. Like 90%, it was something ridiculous. And it's why I don't watch TV, because they don't know what the heck they're talking about. I would much rather listen to a professional sports bettor or an odds maker, because they have a clue. And I'll illustrate my point simply by saying all the money came in on the Spurs,
right,
because they realized what I did, that $1.10, $1.15 was cheap, and it closed -45, -150 to win the series.
I saw it was -140.
Well, that
and
was
even
late.
Then I thought, boy, that seems kind of low.
Well, 140, but that's after the
right,
move.
Right.
So the idea was
look
it opened
just before. I didn't look until about an hour before the game.
Right, which is what most people do.
Yeah, I was just curious.
But it opened -10, and it was bet up to -50. And now today, after the Spurs won the first game, now that means that the Grizzlies have to win 4 of the next 6 games. All the Spurs have to do is hold serve in game 2, and that means that the Grizzlies would have to win 4 of the last 5 games, which is a tall order against anybody. But the adjusted series price today, before coming to the studio, the Spurs now are, just after one game, they are a -250 favorite to win. You can get the Spurs and the Islands. The best price you can get take back is +215. So I share this because if you're in my shoes, what do you do? I have +250, +220, +220 on the Spurs to win the West. Now I can take +215. So it's a very right, favorable, enviable position to be in. Me being me, I'm not going to do squat because, again, I don't want to do anything until I face an elimination game to where I'm forced to do something. Fortunately, a lot of people make the mistake of hedging too early. But, again, if the Grizzlies win game 2, then I'm going to be a little bit concerned. Just like you asked me after the Warriors split the first 2 games in San Antonio, are you scared? Are you nervous? It's like, no. In fact, if I didn't have a future on the Spurs, I would be on the Spurs at -80, -60 to -80 against the Warriors to win the series. And, of course, they won 3 of the next 4 games, and it was like 8-1, 9-1 when they went up 3 games to 2. So, again, it's about numbers, odds, laws of probability as much as it is anything else.
Right. Now, I think a lot of people get stuck in their mind, not professional gamblers like yourself, that this team's going to win the series no matter what. And it might not necessarily be true. And then you're going to do that early where suddenly somebody says, oh, I get Memphis. Well, gosh, they only had them at +110 before, or even money before the series started. And now I can get them at +215. So if you love Memphis and you thought Memphis could still win this series, those people might now take it.
Well, my good buddy and mentor Scott Whitney was asking me before the show. He said, listen, why is it after winning by 22 points, the Spurs are only a 5-point favorite? And again, it kind of lends itself back to my original point that the odds makers, for the most part, have it right. It's about right. The Spurs are about a 5, 5.5, maybe a 6-point favorite. They're 6 points, 5 points better than, say, the Grizzlies in San Antonio. Now, that will be adjusted considerably once we go to Memphis, but it's all predicated on what happens in the next game. But the sportsbooks do shade the underdog, knowing that the zigzag theory is alive and well. I believe it was 11-1 the first 2 rounds. And to illustrate again what the zigzag theory is, it has to do with when whatever happens in game 1, buck that trend, meaning go with the dog, ATS against the spread. Not like the Grizzlies are going to win the game, but you want to take the Grizzlies plus the points, knowing that they're going to make some adjustments and the Spurs may get a little bit lax. But again, that's just one tool that you use in your arsenal when it comes to handicapping sports, because fact is, this Spurs team, in my mind, is a lot better than the Memphis Grizzlies. But I always respect the odds makers. I certainly respect the marketplace. And forget what Irvin Magic Johnson and Jalen Rose and Charles Barkley, who love the Memphis Grizzlies, say. Yeah, they're great basketball players, but I would rather listen to a professional sports bettor. And so while I was annoyed by everything that I read on the internet and everything that I heard on TV, it's like, wow. I mean, it's actually a good thing, because you never want to public perception, you generally want to be against that right. from a professional sports betting standpoint. So I was relieved and happy to know that fellow professional sports bettors saw it the same way I did, knowing that it moved from 10 to 20 to 30 to 40 to 50 cents minus the Spurs for the series, and today minus 250.
It'll be interesting as we wait for game two tomorrow.
Well, now let's talk about the Eastern Conference. We're looking at the Chicago. Well, actually, we're looking at the Chicago Bulls in our rearview mirror.
They're playing golf.
They are, yes. Which, again, I was thinking of that as I looked at you. You have a sharp-dressed haircut, man. You're styling.
What?
You were on the golf course this weekend.
I felt bad for you and Anthony because you had no hair, and I had this big moppy do going. I figured I better get my hair cut.
You are a team player.
I figured it was time for me to step up to the plate. And the good thing was I got to control what I looked like, unlike you guys.
Yeah, you did. At least you had a trained professional do your hair. I had Anthony Padilla
right.
do mine.
Yeah.
So, well, let's talk about the Eastern Conference Finals. The Miami Heat, they have the home court advantage. They are the big bullies on the block. They won the NBA title a year ago. They're locked. They're loaded. We've talked about many times no team is going to beat them four times in a seven-game series. That includes the NBA Finals if it's against my Spurs. But I do think if you look at this matchup, the Indiana Pacers, I love this team because they're a lot like the Chicago Bulls. They bring the energy, the effort. They play good half-court defense. But the series price, the Heat, favored about minus 7-1 to take back, depending upon where it is. You get plus 6-1 on the Pacers. But, I mean, LeBron James, ready to go, not real happy with some comments that the coach for the Indiana Pacers had said. I think it's an overreaction on LeBron James' part. My personal opinion is, you know what, man? You're being chased. You're the man. You're the team. Why do you think you have to stir things up? It's a very insecure, narcissistic thing for LeBron James to do, to say that, oh, yeah, I heard what he said, and I'm going to be ready. It's like, really? What, are you 10 years old?
Well, yeah, he is.
That's part of it. He's a man child.
He is. You know, I mean, there's a couple of huge things going on as the series gets started. First of all, you know, Miami is 45-3 in their last 48 games. So you can't deny the fact that they are, without question, the best team in the league going into this particular spot. However, they did have a losing record to the Pacers. So for whatever reason, Indiana matches up well with them, probably because they're bigger. And that's one of the advantages that the Pacers have in this spot. They have four players that are 6'9 or taller that'll be in their starting rotation, whereas the Heat only have two guys that have that kind of size up front. And one of those guys, Chris Bosh, doesn't like to get under the basket very much. He's more of an outside player. So can Roy Hibbert and the rest of the Pacers control the glass? And if they can, is that enough to keep them in a series to be able to beat them four times? I'm not sure it is, but it's a team that matches up with them. In fact, in their three matchups this year, the Pacers beat the Heat by double digits in both of their wins. So they feel good in this matchup. I don't know that I would ever feel good playing the Heat, but they do. So maybe that's where the comments are coming from a little bit as we get started for game one. But this will probably be the biggest test, obviously, for the Heat out of the East. And then depending on who they play in the finals, I think San Antonio, if they get there versus the Heat, would be a great final series. But I think the Pacers have a chance to take them deeper into the series, into six games or into seven games. I don't know they can beat them, but I think they can win two or three in the series.
It's the old adage in business. I mean, the first sale is to yourself. And so the Indiana Pacers believe that they can beat the Miami Heat. Regular season, it doesn't mean a whole lot. I mean, I respect the fact that they matched up well and they played well against the Heat. It's a totally different animal in the postseason. I mean, I look at the Heat. They're better than they were a year ago. Mm-hmm. Love them or hate them, they're better than they were a year ago. You talked about Chris Bosh, the fact that he's a big guy. He's one of the main three for the Heat. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't bode well for the Pacers, but I actually think it bodes well for the Heat because he is an outside big man, which will bring the opposing big man away from the basket. So I see it as a big advantage for the Miami Heat because the Pacers, like the Grizzlies, like the Bulls, they like to play great, sound interior defense and pack it in the paint, force you to beat them from the outside. That's where Ray Allen, Rashard Lewis, Shane Battier come into play.
Well, it'll be interesting to see what if it's David West who's guarding Chris Bosh. That'd be my guess, because I don't think Hibbert wants to be away from the basket. So they're going to have to find ways to keep Roy where he likes to be. So it'll be a challenge for the Indiana coaching staff to make sure they keep their big guy under the glass. And Indiana's a team that has held opponents to about 32% from the three-point line this year, the best in the association. So if they're able to continue to force teams outside and keep them outside and rely on their defense, it'll be interesting for the Miami Heat. How healthy is Dwayne Wade? That's been a factor so far. Even though they're 8-1, we know he has not been healthy. And are they able to force the Heat to take outside shots where the Heat are a slash team, get to the basket, get out in transition? And when they do make their threes, it's out of kind of like the Spurs were doing yesterday, it's penetrate and kick to an open Ray Allen. Ray Allen's not a guy run down the floor, spot up, and shoot a three-point shot. They're not watching me. I'm over here in the corner. I'm next to the popcorn girl,
right,
and making a three. He's more hiding in the weeds and pops up and nails a three. So it'll be interesting, I think, early in the series.
Well, I think it's a very good observation on your part when you're talking about the Miami Heat and how they match up with the Indiana Pacers, because the strength of the Pacers is a weakness for the Heat. Rebounding. As good as the Heat are, they're not a great rebounding team, right, as opposed to the Indiana Pacers. They are a very good rebounding team. Maybe that's why they had success against the Heat during the course of the regular season. But as we've said many times, and I'll repeat it now, I mean, I just am hard-pressed to think, talk about overstating the obvious, I just don't think. It's like if you beat the Heat, congratulations. The Bulls stole game one. Congratulations. You have to beat them another three times in the next six games. Of course, the Bulls lost four consecutive games, and the Bulls, they gave them a good series. I mean, they covered the spread a number of times, and the Pacers are a team somewhat conducive to the same style that Chicago played.
They are. But the difference is they're healthy. And obviously the Bulls were their JV team, as we talked about last week. Other than Danny Granger, who's out, who has been out the entire year, when you have guys like a Tyler Hansborough who can get under your skin, who can go out and rebound and give you significant minutes as a role player, not looking to score necessarily, but a pure energy guy that is also a pest and can get on the offensive glass and give your team extra possessions, I think that's a huge factor. I've watched Roy Hibbert a lot in the last couple of years. He's one of those guys where he's able to alter shots and deflect shots and be a presence defensively. He's not a big presence offensively, and I worry about him because I think he needs to score for the Pacers to be able to win this thing. And if he gets too far away from the basket, he's not a very good shooter out there. He's got to be, you know, down low on the block. Offensive rebounds, putbacks, little hook shot here and there. The Heat have got to figure out a way to combat that height advantage that the Pacers have.
Pacers taking on the Miami Heat, Eastern Conference Finals Game 1 is Wednesday. You're listening to The Odds Couple on KSHP AM 1400 Radio, live and worldwide simulcast on Vegas Video Network. Scott Pritchard, professional sports bettor handicapper, joined, as always, by Brett Grant. I want to talk baseball this past weekend. Wow, the Oakland A's looking good, feeling good. Cespedes stepped up, hit a dinger yesterday. They swept the Kansas City Royals. The A's starting to play good ball again. What say you?
Well, I think the American League West is an interesting division. I mean, we see the Angels a lot here in Las Vegas just because we're in Las Vegas and we see the Angels games. And for some reason, Major League Baseball thinks Oakland and Las Vegas are next to each other on a map and they black out the A's games. They black out the Giants games as well. Let's get that fixed, can we? They're only 600 miles away from here. If they use that philosophy on the East Coast, nobody would be able to see anybody play, right?
Yeah.
There's probably 10 franchises within 600 miles of Major League Baseball, but I digress. The A's are an interesting team. They got off like a house of fire early, and then they went through a nice little slump, and now they're turning around. They're back over 500 again. But the Rangers are the real deal in that thing. They got a 6.5-game lead in that division. I mean, the Rangers are so good, they can let somebody get three home runs in a game and still beat them. I mean, you know, Miguel Cabrera, Mickey had three dingers last night in the Sunday night game, and they still lost,
right,
the Tigers did, to the Rangers. The Rangers goes, we don't care. We're at home.
We're going to outscore you.
Especially that ballpark. They right. know they can score at will in that
yeah.
ballpark. And you know, especially now as the weather gets warm, and I don't know how you feel about this from a gambling standpoint of how big sometimes they can make the numbers, but when Texas plays in Arlington on a warm summer night, and we're not quite the summer yet, but we're almost there, there's going to be 15 runs almost three out of four times every time they play down there. I'd say three out of four times, teams are going to be scoring 8-7, 9-6, 10-8 games. That's the way it's going to be down there.
Well, it's very interesting, and you ask for my opinion as far as from a handicapping standpoint, how do I see this? And there's a little tidbit that's been proven for years that in a college football game, if a total is exceptionally high, like say 70, 72, it's the highest total on the board.
You bet it over.
Bet the over. Right. Conversely, if you see something that's like, wow, it's extremely low, like 31 for a total, play the under. Okay?
Right.
Because it's about a 60% winner. So based on what you're saying, and we've talked about this with the Angels, for instance,
right,
early on, they've been a dead over team, and we called this trend long before it happened because their pitching is atrocious. Everyone knows that. The odds makers know it, but you can only make the total so high, and yet they can hit the ball 1-9, and including a home run, a long ball. So, I mean, one swing of the bat, you get 2 to 3 runs a pop. So the Rangers, same thing here. I mean, it's just like the Rockies years ago,
right,
with the high altitude, thin air, and a hitter-friendly park. You'd have totals 11 and 12, and it would go over. So in this case, just, again, you want to see it before it happens, but it's a good observation, especially with the humidity,
right,
in Texas, Arlington. I'm telling you that.
That's one of those places in the country where you get out of the shower and you never dry off ever.
Right.
Until
exactly
the next
right.
time you get back in the shower.
It's true. Kind of reminds me of Costa Rica when I was down there. I mean,
you walk around like this.
Right.
I think my clothes are sticking to me. You're the scarecrow as you go through. There are some hot teams right now. Did you know, here's the interesting thing, the Cleveland Indians with a 2-game lead in their division ahead of the Tigers, who we talked about last year, the Tigers, it took them until late in the year last year with their big payroll to get past finally the Chicago White Sox. They might be doing the same thing this year where a team like Cleveland, the Indians have faced the former Cy Young Award winners from last year 8 times already this year, or former Cy Young Award winners in general. They're 7-1 in those matchups. So they're facing great pitching, and they're beating great pitching. They've won 4 in a row, have the Cleveland Indians.
So much for the adage that good pitching beats good. So much for the adage that good pitching always stops good hitting
right.
sometimes.
Sometimes. Oh, you added something to it.
7 of 8. That's pretty impressive. I mean, the Indians have been a very good team. They've been a surprise team. And, of course, it's early. We played roughly about 45 games. Tigers, I think you said, 2.5 games back. They are the class of that division. They will win that division. No worries. No problem. But if you look at potential future plays in baseball, Texas Rangers. I mean, the fact is, I mean, it's a crapshoot. Who's going to win the division? Who's going to win the pennant? Look at the Texas Rangers in terms
right.
of value, because they have a 6.5 game lead. Oakland, I think, is going to fade as the season progresses. The Angels have been an absolute joke. They're going to get better. They're going to be better than what we've seen. But I'm not convinced. I checked yesterday, like 12.5 games out of first place are the Angels. So there might be some value in the Texas Rangers, knowing that chances are they're going to win their division, and you can't win it if you don't get there. So just get in, baby.
They're already projected to have about an 89% chance of making the playoffs, and we're at May 20th, and they're already with their 6.5 game lead, an 89% chance they're going to be in the postseason, whereas a team like the Yankees, who are also in first place but only by a half a game, their percentage is only 60% as of right now. So that's the highest in baseball at this moment. Now, obviously, things can change. But when you look at the Rangers with their offense, it's terrific. And then you throw in their pitching staff with guys like, obviously, Yu Darvish, and then you have Holland and Harrison and some other guys. It's a solid team. Ogando's on the disabled list right now, but you expect him to come back. But I like that Rangers team.
You're listening to The Odds Couple on KSHP AM 1400 Radio, live and worldwide, Vegas Video Network. Scott Pritchard, professional sports bettor handicapper, joined by Brett Grant. We're going to bring in the wheel. Spin it to win it. Spin to Win is the name of this segment. The professional sports bettor bets with their head, never their heart. Emotions cloud judgment. We're going to spin it. We have the San Antonio. We don't have a pro basketball game today, so we're looking at tomorrow's contest. The San Antonio Spurs taking on the Memphis Grizzlies. I am forced to make an argument for the one side. Brett automatically has to argue the other side. The Spurs are favored by 5. Who do I have?
Pop knows best.
Hey, I like that. I'll try. This is going to be an easy sell. San Antonio Spurs minus the 5. They're at home. The Spurs lost 6 games the entire season at home. They're healthy. They're hungry. They're focused. And like me, most of the time, they're annoyed. Pop knows best. The San Antonio Spurs minus the 5. Wow, that is cheap. See the cashier.
I think you saw your haircut. And that annoys you every day until you're
it does.
Until
it's a
you
constant get the reminder.
Rod Stewart locks back, and you can go back and spend $100 on your highlights.
Right.
And you'll be good to go. On the other side, I think I have an easy sell to my team. Guys, we're embarrassed in game one. We know we're better than this. Let's go out and show it right from the get-go. You are a very good road team. We lost game one to the Clippers, and nobody gave us a shot. We came out, boom, we won the next 4 in a row. So, let the Spurs have their feeling good about themselves. We got to go out and get the job done here in game two. So I'm going to zag. I get the points. I know I have a very good team. I'm expecting a much better defensive effort out of the Grizzlies. So I like that position. And as you like to say, points are more important than opinion.
They really are. And again, I tend to take those. But in this case, based on matchups and based on recent history, the fact that the Spurs won by 22 and they could have just as easily won by 30. In fact, I mean, you notice the subtleties of the game. Popovich, right. I mean, he had his bench players in there and they're sticking it to the Grizzlies.
Right.
They're up 28. So with 3 minutes to go, Bayless came across half court. They intentionally fouled him. Why? Why would you do that? And during the timeout, Popovich told his guys, hey, okay, let's chill. Let's take it easy.
Right.
They put Bayless at the line. They ended up winning by 20. They didn't want to win by 35 and really, you know, it's sportsmanship.
Right,
and
it
was smart because right after that timeout, they slowed things down. But they were playing. They only know one speed, man. They get
right
on the court and they play. So it was just kind of interesting. But if you look at the Spurs minus the points in this situation, again, based on matchups, based on recent history, and based on the fact that they learned from last year. But in defense of what you said, Brett, hey, you're right. They went 0-2, the Grizzlies, in the first round against the Clippers. Then they won 4 straight games. Congratulations. There was a side note. Blake Griffin got hurt, was not 100%.
Right.
Now, in the second round, I look at this objectively. They did lose game one to the Oklahoma City Thunder by 2 points. But the fact is they won 4 in a row after that. But every single game was decided by less than 6 points. And you're playing a Thunder team. It was a coin toss each and every game. And yet they didn't have their second best player,
right,
Russell Westbrook. So this team, as I've said, I'm thinking they're a little bit of a fraud. And that has to do with their bench or lack thereof. I give them credit, but I think they overachieved during the course of the regular season.
That's a good point. It'll be interesting to see what kind of reaction they have coming out into game two after being embarrassed. But, yeah, they beat a team in the Clippers that was not 100%. They beat a team in Oklahoma City that also wasn't 100%. And now they're playing a Spurs team that is 100%. So it's a big difference.
I'm going to give you another example of why I try to tune out what the media says, because the media, they don't have a clue. I say that because I was reading something on CBS Sportsline. They were talking about the Memphis Grizzlies and how no one expected them to beat the Clippers and no one expected them to beat the Thunder. They were an underdog in both series. How is this person getting paid to write for CBS Sportsline? That is blatantly untrue. The Grizzlies were favored to win against Oklahoma City. So how can you say that they were an underdog? That's blatant. That's incorrect.
Well, maybe they're saying underdog because they're not looking at the lines, they're looking at the seedings, and a lot of people just look at the seedings to say that, look at the NCAA basketball tournament. Even though you might be a 7 seed and I'm a 10 seed, and the 10 seed wins, it's considered an upset, but yet the line makers had the 10 seed as a 3-point favorite. So it's really not an upset. But the average person is looking at the seeding.
Well, the average person shouldn't bet,
right,
if that's the case. Because how many times in college football do we see an unranked team favored at home against a number 19 team? It happens all the time. So does that? But you should know it shouldn't be predicated on that. It's really, I mean, that's why this show is great. We're giving it to you straight. We're going to hopefully provoke thought and hopefully put some money in your pocket.
I have to laugh. We have a live chat comment that it says, it looks like Anthony gave me a haircut.
That's
apparently
great.
He wasn't fond of my stylist either.
I think you're looking good,
but it's
man.
The summer. You got to trim it down for the summer.
That's very funny. Someone said.
I can assure you that the person who cut my hair is much better looking than Anthony Padilla. That's all I got to say.
You know, Anthony Padilla, I'm pretty sure, is in a drunken stupor today.
Yeah, I heard he lost a game on Friday.
Friday, he's human. He's like everyone else. I mean, I'm 10-3 in my last 13 plays, only to be upstaged by this clown. And I say that it's a term of endearment, right?
Right.
He has been on fire, hasn't lost in X number of weeks, something like 12, 14, 15 straight winners ATS against the spread. I'll tell you what the odds of that happening are maybe tomorrow or by Friday. But losing, you cannot be afraid to lose. The break-even point, 52.4%. I'm worried, and I'm going to address this with Anthony on Friday. I was with him on Friday, and he was down. He's a headliner here, LVH, Comedy After Dark, Anthony Padilla. He was drinking before the show. I'm thinking he was drinking during the show. I know I was with him. He was drinking after the show, and I'm thinking, man, did your dog die? Did your girlfriend leave? What? No, man, I'm 15-1 in my last 16. He's upset that he lost a baseball game by one run.
I think there's a country song coming from Anthony at some point here.
There's no doubt. Yeah. I hope that he doesn't sing on the air. But I'm pretty sure that he's probably 15 in Sahara under the bridge with a couple of other homeless dudes having a drink right now. That would be my guess. You're listening to The Odds Couple on KSHP AM 1400 Radio, simulcast live and worldwide. Vegas Video Network, Scott Pritchard, Brett Grant. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back.
Have you ever thought you should be on the radio? Or have you considered doing an online video show or podcast? If so, now is your only chance to do both at the same time. KSHP and the Vegas Video Network have teamed up to provide the only multi-camera broadcast quality video and live radio simulcast in Las Vegas. And instead of having your show played at some ungodly hour, the KSHP Vegas Video Network partnership is producing shows that play from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. Monday through Friday. Imagine having your own radio show broadcasting to the entire Las Vegas Valley, and combine that with an online presence that is viewed in all 50 states and 150 countries, both live and on demand. This is a first and an outstanding opportunity to give voice to your business, your ideas, and your talent. If you'd like your own show on KSHP and the Vegas Video Network, contact us today at 221-1200. That's 221-1200.
Welcome back to The Odds Couple on KSHP AM 1400 Radio, live and worldwide on Vegas Video Network. Scott Pritchard, professional sports bettor handicapper, joined, as always, by Brett Grant. We would love for you to reach out to us on the show. Email us at oddscouple@vegasvideonetwork.com. That's oddscouple@vegasvideonetwork.com. We would love to hear your voice on our show. Go to our site, Vegas Video Network, right-hand side, red bar, click there, middle of the page, green bar, hit start recording. Live chat up and running, studio line open, 702-221-7283. Also, if you miss us live, it's cool. You can check us out, Vegas Video Network, YouTube, along with iTunes and Roku. Is it Yoku or Roku?
Yeah, it's egg yolks. It's all that. Yeah, Roku.
Roku. All right. Speaking is my life. You're listening to The Odds Couple. You don't have to look far to find frustration, whether it's here in the studio or in the world of sports betting. Are you kidding me?
I'm frustrated because I think we're 0-6 in our last couple of days on the show, last 3 days on the show.
Speak for yourself, man.
And the lights are out.
I'm 10-3. What are you talking? Hey, speak for yourself on this segment. How about that?
I'm just saying collectively. Actually, my Are You Kidding Me is the new era of fans in general. Robert Griffin III, RG3, also known as Bob Griffin, he is getting married. And somehow it got leaked out that he and his fiance are registered at Bed Bath & Beyond. Okay, great. Congratulations for them. But fans are buying wedding presents for Robert Griffin III and his fiance. Do we have no life? It's bad enough you spend thousands of dollars on jerseys and tickets and beers and souvenirs. You're now buying wedding gifts for some of the richest people on the planet? Are you kidding me? Now, Robert Griffin says, what do you want me to do? They're buying me presents. I mean, it's not his fault. It's not his fault. But fans, get a life. Are you kidding me?
I like it. Zach Randolph, the man for the Memphis Grizzlies, their best player in the deciding game against the Thunder. 28 points, 14 rebounds. He is the man. But as I said, Zach Randolph, No Zach Attack. He had two more points than Brett Grant did yesterday. 2 points, 1 for 8 shooting. Zach Randolph, are you kidding me? This is exciting, man.
Rough day
the entire
him.
Show is fun.
Right.
But this is the most exciting for the viewers and the listeners because this is where Brett and I together put money into your pocket as we put you on the right side.
Right side for me today. We're going to try and get it started. It's Monday. I'm like undefeated on every Monday that ends in a Y all year. But if you spell it Monday, you're in trouble. I'm going to go to a game between the New York Yankees and the Baltimore Orioles today and look at a total in this spot where CC Sabathia is on the mound. And he hasn't been great where he normally has all year, but he has been very good in his last 3 starts, especially in starts on the road. And I'm looking at a total here of over under 8.5. I'm going to go under in this particular spot. I don't see this game getting to 9. I think the Yankees can win the game 4-1, 5-1, 5-2, something like that, a 5-3 game. I just don't see it being a very high-scoring game. So in light of the brevity of the lateness of the show, I'm going to go to the Yankees game and go under the 8.5.
Before we get to my right side, I want to recap what I've done here lately on the show the past couple of weeks. 10 winners, 3 losses, another winner on Friday. 10 wins, 3 losses, break-even point. Betting sports is 52.4% ATS against the spread. Now, we've been giving out baseball plays, totals, and then shading favorites a little bit, minus 10, minus 15, minus 20. I look at a game today. It's in the National League. The Washington Nationals are on the road taking on the San Francisco Giants. I released this last night to my good buddy Jacob Cannon, minus 25, minus 30 this morning. It's already up to 35 at a lot of places, and it's continuing to move. So the money is on the Giants. My right side today, the Giants at home getting happy, taking on the Washington Nationals and the lefty Duke. So the right side for me, the Giants at home minus the lumber. Let's talk a little. We had a live chat statement, someone wanting to talk some hockey. I know the Blackhawks are taking on the Red Wings. You are the hockey guy. How do you see this playing
out?
Well,
game 3 of this series will be tonight. The Red Wings won game 2 in Chicago to earn the split. Back in here, big couple things about the Blackhawks tonight. Victor Stahlberg will be back in the lineup for them tonight. He was in the doghouse of Coach Joe Quenneville. He's a big energy kind of guy for them, and he's likely playing today. He was a healthy scratch. I have a healthy scratch. You have a healthy itch. I have a healthy scratch.
There is a difference.
The Blackhawks are very good in their last 4 trips to Detroit. They're 4-0 in those spots. They're 8-1 the last 9 times they've played. You know, the Red Wings are a team that is not. You think of the Red Wings always being in the postseason, always being a team that is, like you talk about with your San Antonio Spurs, a proven team. It's not quite the same team. There's been some retirings. There's been some guys not stepping up. There's some veterans certainly there. I think the Blackhawks are the best team in hockey along with the Pittsburgh Penguins. My guess is that the Hawks and Penguins will see each other in the Stanley Cup Finals. So I think this particular game, I look for the Blackhawks to bounce back a little bit. They've been very good in Detroit. The unders in this series, by the way, 4-1 the last 5 times they've played in Detroit. And last time I checked, I think the over-under was 5 in that spot. So I look for the Blackhawks to bounce back in game 3.
Great observation. Great feedback here in regards to the Stanley Cup playoffs, the Chicago Blackhawks taking on the Detroit Red Wings tonight. You know, I want to echo your thoughts in regards to the lights going out here in the studio. I mean, I feel pressure because last week, we've been on a streak between Anthony, yourself, and me, 10-3 in my last 13, and you've struggled a little bit last week. But I got nervous because we both went 0-2 one day. We both went 0-1, collectively 0-2. I came into the studio. We're down from a 3-camera set to a 2-camera set. The main man who makes everything happen here, Scott Whitney, he's not even here. And now the lights are going out. It's like, man, we better keep picking winners, man.
Well, 2 out of 3 things are good. We got 3 cameras back and Scott's back, although Scott's still not feeling great, but he's back. He looks horrible too, by the way. But the lighting situation, you know, we do have union electricians around here somewhere. We have to get them back to work, I guess.
Very excited to be part of what's going on here at KSHP AM 1400 Radio. This is the Odds Couple. We're live and worldwide on Vegas Video Network. How cool is that? We're local radio, Las Vegas, not Dubuque or Ottumwa, but Las Vegas, Sin City. And then internet kicks local TV's But simply because local TV, you have to be in a specific city, a la Las Vegas. But with Vegas Video Network, we're live and worldwide. This show is about sports betting, The Odds Couple. My name's Scott Pritchard. I'm here Monday through Friday, religiously talking sports betting. You can check me out on my site, PritchardsPicks.com. That's PritchardsPicks.com. Some of the information is free. Some of the information you do have to pay for. I do sports betting seminars three times a year on the Strip at Harrah's. The next one will be in August, right before the regular season of pro football kicks off. Also, check me out, VegasInsider.com. We have a million views per day. Tim Donaghy, former NBA official, has his own site, Ref Picks. I'm a premier handicapper on that site as well. For my good buddy, Brett Grant, my name is Scott Pritchard. The Odds Couple, Monday through Friday. We will catch you tomorrow from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. Good luck and goodbye.